Good morning, everybody. You're going to want to open your Bibles this morning, and you're going to want to be in chapter 7, Zechariah. I'm going to give you a second to find that. I've got a couple of hopeful things that I also wanted to share this morning in just in the flow of what we were just talking about, and one of those is that our benevolent offering that we normally take in the month of December is going to be dedicated for Watts Powerhouse Church that is over in the Watts area, serving that whole entire area over there. They have run into some financial difficulties during this COVID-19 period, and so we wanted to take, our elders, our governing board wanted to take all of the benevolent offering that we normally take in the month of December, and we're just going to dedicate all of that to the ministry that goes on in the inner city over there in Watts. And so I just want to encourage you, as you are looking at your year-end giving, as you are considering, we've got that, and we've, you know, we're also doing a courtyard, continuing to do renovations. I just really want to encourage you to invest in things that are going to make a serious eternal difference in the kingdom of God. We have been developing our outdoor areas. We're hoping to put in some heaters out there. We're hoping to put in some things that are going to make our outdoor areas at the church really usable. Because as you think about the future of what churches look like, they're not going to look like they're in parking lots, but there's going to be a lot of indoor and outdoor usage that's going to be necessary in the future. And so it's crucial for us to be able to develop those outdoor areas. And that's why we're doing that. If you haven't been over to the courtyard, we've already begun much of the renovation that goes into that area, and there's much more to be done. And so I just, again, as we come to December, as we come to that time period when we're coming right down to the end of the year, I know many of you are kind of wrapping up all of your giving on the year. Could I just lift up for you the ministry in Watts, the Powerhouse Ministry? Just make sure that you designate to that ministry or to the Benevolent Fund. And then also, I just really want to lift up that we are in the midst of developing those outdoor areas. And so it would be just hugely helpful for us. These are some of the things that I really believe we're going to see God do some great things in those areas and in those ministries in 2021, which, oh my gosh, it's only a month away. I could not be happier to see the end of 2020. But with the end of 2020, also some pretty awesome news. Matt and Tiffany Taggart, right back. Tiffany is pregnant with their first baby. We are so delighted for you guys. Very, very exciting. They have got, yeah, thank you. I don't know who that was, but that was that Pam Garrell? Golly, out of control back there. That is awesome. They've got a baby boy that is coming. This is one more opportunity for those of you that are sanctified to pray for the name Christopher. I just want to throw that out. No, I'm joking. I just want to throw out to you, though, that the Taggarts are having a baby, and if you get the opportunity to fist bump, high five, give a hug, whatever, afterwards, that is wonderful. Really, really excited, Matt, Tiffany, so delighted to see this part of your lives begin to grow and develop. Speaking of which, talk about the ultimate year of not having to talk to people about what it means to live in darkness, to live in tiredness, to live in a fatigue, to live feeling like the government is against you and that everything you do is just, it's just not enough. Talk about a year. I am not joking. I looked back at previous years of what I wrote about Advent, and I would dedicate the first 2 weeks to making sure that we really truly understood what it meant for the people to live in a kind of like just oppression and darkness. And I would make this transition in each of those sermons and say, life here in Long Beach is wonderful. The sun is out. Everything's great. We just live really, really comfortable, happy lives. It's hard sometimes to transport ourselves back into Scripture. Not so in 2020. What a great year. This has been a gigantic load of doggy do. I mean, this has been a rough year for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And believe me, am I enjoying this? Do I love being out in the sun right now? I know that probably half the country, There's snow, there's freeze. I don't know why anybody would have stopped there in their wagon train years and years ago. Like, I just think, man, they missed the Holy Land. Here we are in Southern California, and it is wonderful. We've got great weather. We can meet outside. We are almost into December, and we are still just able to do this kind of thing. But we've got to understand that this year has been so challenging and so difficult for so many of us. That is the mindset. That is the heart. That is the ethos, so to speak, the feel of what the people of Israel were under for hundreds and hundreds of years. For generations, they were under this heaviness of oppression, and not just an oppression that came because their government was overreaching. It came because their government collapsed. And they were gathered up as a people, and they were carried away to a foreign land. And they longed to come back to God. They longed to come back to a place where they would be able to worship God freely in the place where that they called home. I mean, it was an oppression that is far beyond anything that you or I have experienced, even with this year. Zechariah chapter 7. I asked you to turn there earlier because it's not an easy book to find. It's one of those little minor prophet books at the end of the Old Testament. There's a whole bunch of them there. And these are all books that are written during a time where the people are in exile or they've just come out of exile. In other words, they've left the land of their oppressor and they're coming out from that land and they're returning to Israel. And so there's all kinds of questions. People have moved into the homes that they built. Their towns have been overrun by other people that have moved into them after they were taken away in exile. They're coming into Israel, but it feels to them as though the land is foreign. And God says to his people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments." In other words, judge by the truth. "Show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner," which it literally means the alien, the alien that is in the land. "Do not oppress them, the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." It reminds me of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. This is what God has called us to do. This is the heart that he has called us to. And look at how the people responded. They refused to pay attention, and they turned a stubborn shoulder, and they stopped their ears. The word literally means they made their ears heavy. They covered their ears with things that were heavy, like fabric, so that they could not hear the Lord. They made their hearts diamond hard, like a flint against a knife that sharpens the blade. They made their hearts hard, diamond hard, lest they should hear the law. Unless they should hear what God required of them and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. "As I called and they would not hear, so they would call and I will not hear. I will not listen to them. They've ignored me, I will ignore them." We'll see how that goes for them. "I scattered them with a whirlwind amongst all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to or fro. And the pleasant land was made desolate, a desert, a waste land." This was the judgment of God. This is what the people were under. And it required them to go into captivity for them to realize this is what God has done. Think about it. In all of the stories that we studied over the last 9 months, in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, under the prophet Elijah and his mentee, the guy that he trained for ministry, Elisha, under those two prophets, we got to see all kinds of stories. And what does God criticize the most? He criticizes leaders. He criticizes leaders and those that followed those leaders that were not committed to these simple truths, showing kindness and mercy, not oppressing the widow, the fatherless, the alien, the poor, not devising evil against one another. Whenever God's judgments were to pour out, what was he judging? He was judging the individual's heart attitude towards others. Sometimes those others were close to them, their own family. Sometimes those others were simply people that were their neighbors, people that they came into contact with, people that they were in authority over. And so God hates this kind of behavior. When the land turns itself, when the people turn themselves away from God, these are the things that get lost in the mix of everyday life. These are the very things that people begin to oppress others with rather than love and show kindness and be merciful towards others, because they've lost sight of God. And God is particularly critical of leaders. Look at what it says in Jeremiah, back just a couple of books, or if you've got an outline, it's just a couple of pages forward. Jeremiah 23, 1 to 2. This is a condensed version, by the way, of Ezekiel 34. If you want to read the unabridged, spread out version, you should read Ezekiel 34. But this is just a quick two-verse version of it. Woe to the shepherds. Woe to the leaders, in other words, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you've scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you. You have not attended to them, but I am coming after you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. What do we learn here? That when a people are tired, when they are harassed, when they're fatigued, when they're feeling like many of us do, we know this, that as their leaders go, so go the people. As leaders lead, so will the people follow. That is common. It takes an unusual person to stand up and reject even evil leadership that is over them. It is crucially important that the shepherds that we follow be people that are committed to the very heart of God, to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with God, and to encourage that in one another, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of things being difficult. We have been called to do, display, act out acts of righteousness and goodness and blessing for the world that is around us. We are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. It might feel like Advent is all around, like we cannot see God, like we wonder, what is God up to? What is He doing? I do not understand. I do not see. Is this the end? Is the end of the world going to come? We get out of our minds. We begin to catastrophize our lives. We begin to turn things around, and we lose sight in these moments of God. Could I call you again back to Him and to a reminder that no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter what life situation you might have, no matter what you are going through, you are still called to live with your eyes fixed on God. And in fixing your eyes on God, to allow Him to not only bless your life, but to bless others. God's never given you anything that is worthwhile in your life just so you could keep it, just so you could snuggle up with it in your home and have it as a security blanket. Even if I die, I get to go to heaven. That's not why it was given to you. It was given to you and I so that we might bless others and give it away. I believe that God honors these things, that in the midst of being tired and harassed and fatigued, we are also called to a life that shines the light of Jesus Christ to the world that is around us. And we do that by displaying acts of goodness and justice and kindness and humility in front of God. Why do I say these things? Do I say these things because I believe that you or I are failures? Not at all. In fact, I love this church family, and I just love how many people are here. If you're watching on video, you should, or on whatever. My kids always get on me about that. If you're watching on videotape, Dad, there hasn't been videotape in like 20 years. That kind of thing. But you get my my drift here. If you're watching on TV at home or on a computer, could I call on you to come on out here? There's hundreds of feet of space. And man, there's just something wonderful about being able to see each other face to face, even mask to mask. It's wonderful to see your eyeballs out here. And believe me, if you are feeling extremely cautious, you can split out of here right when things end. It's okay. We love, though, being together as a family. And I want to call you, like be here while we can still be here. Be here while we can still be out here. I mean, I would hate to have rain happen and we can't be out here in the parking lot some Sunday. I just want to call on our body to come back together, because some of the tiredness, some of the fatigue, some of the harassment that we're feeling could be undone by the meaning of the church, a people gathered together. A people gathered together to worship God and to encourage one another to also walk through this difficult time with our heads held high and our eyes on God. I say this because I do believe that things are going to get better. I don't believe things are going to get better just because we hit 2021. I mean, let's face it. Be careful what you wish for, right? 2020 has been an absolute mess. But 2021 could be worse. I mean, think about that. We could be wishing for something that could be even worse than what we're getting right now. And do I think that's going to be the case? I don't. I think 2021 means that things are going to be getting better. Why do I think that, though? I think it because of what the Word of God says. Look at it in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It's the next verses that are on your outline there. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek suddenly will come into his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Jumping down to chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah. We know that this is John the Baptist in the New Testament. God is giving us this promise, and he shows us in the New Testament the fulfillment of this promise, and he does it so that you and I can live in the midst of these promises, that while things were pretty cruddy at one time, God fulfills the promises that he makes. And so when we look at this, we see that the prophet Elijah is coming before the great and awesome day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children. Parents. Parents who are estranged from their children. I cannot think of very many things that would break my heart more. The hearts of children to their fathers. I spent years estranged, distant, unable to reach out to my own father. And it was only by the power of God that God turned my heart and showed me, Chris, look at what I have forgiven you for. Are you going to harbor this against anyone else, including your father? See, when God comes into a person's life, he turns the hearts of fathers to their kids, the hearts of children to their fathers. In other words, what does he do? He redeems, he restores, he repairs, he brings healing. And this is what the work of God does. And if it doesn't, if God is ineffective, if this is not the heart of people to love mercy, to do justice, to show kindness, it says God will come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. When we do these things, when we keep our eyes focused on God, and we have our eyes focused on the light, and then we shine that light to other people. When we reflect that goodness to other people, we actually bring life and flourishing to the community that is around us. It prevents utter destruction. It brings life into people's lives. I know. Some of us just hear these words and we believe these words, and yet simultaneously they bounce off of us. We don't want to take a walk outside because COVID could be there, or that's just not what we do in our family, or my hip hurts, or whatever. could I call on you to position yourself in places where you could actually shine the light of Jesus Christ into your community, where you could actually do justice, show kindness, be merciful, care for other people. All it requires is walking outside, moving outside our little hermetically sealed homes, which are wonderful, by the way, and going into a community that literally doesn't make very much face-to-face contact with anybody. You can still maintain space. You can still maintain all of the things that you are supposed to, but you cannot live a life of Advent, of light streaming into dark places, if you are all alone inside of your house. Do not allow a pandemic to stop the work of God in the midst of your life. It's on you and it's on me to figure out ways around this obstacle. It's on you and on me to figure out ways that we can be a blessing and not just part of the curse that goes on in our world. Joel chapter 2, I will restore to you. Hear this. Because I believe that some of us today we're oppressed, we're tired, we're feeling the fatigue. The lack of coming regularly to church. We're getting some statistics from some of the groups that talk to Christian brothers and sisters, and people are saying, I read my Bible way less because I don't come to my normal stuff anymore. I don't think of the problems in my life in terms of where I could find that in the scriptures anymore. I've gone a different direction. Christians as a whole, again, not necessarily this church family, but as a whole, are spending more and more time on websites that deliver the news than they are in the Bible. Now, I don't mean that apples for apples, like, oh, I spend 30 minutes on Fox News or CNN, and I spend 30 minutes in the Bible. I just mean this time here, spent on all that news stuff, which, by the way, is kind of like smoking or drinking poison, is actually costing believers time in the Word of God, even if it's 10 minutes a day, even if it's 15 minutes a day, it's costing them. Is that you? Is that me? Is that us as well? Because this is what God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust, or the plague that is in this case swarming down onto the people, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, these are all different kinds of bugs. My great army that I sent amongst you. What? Hey, all things are in God's hand. He uses every single thing that goes on in this world. He uses it for His purposes. He allows it to happen in our lives. You can see it as a temptation to walk away, or you can see it as a test, an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord Himself. And He gives them this vision, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, God's chosen people, and that I am the Lord your God, there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Brothers and sisters, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better, but what have you lost maybe in this last year that would be truly damaging as you look forward? What part of the light that perhaps you have embraced more actively in the past have you kind of lost track of in the midst of maybe developing a new hobby during this time of COVID? Maybe it's just been simply hanging out at home and you realize, I can watch Netflix and I could watch that for the rest of my life. And it just keeps on, like the new show comes up 4 seconds later. This is wonderful. I never even have to get off the couch anymore. And this is just mind-blowing. And I can just watch TV all the time. Have we filled our lives with things that have squeezed into places that God Himself at one time possessed? Could I call on you to come back? Come back to the light. Do not let the darkness overtake the places where God has conquered and brought light into the midst of your life. You might question what I just said. You might question and go, wait a minute. You mean God has been in the midst of all these things? God has actually allowed these things? Like, if God had the power to prevent this stuff, why didn't he prevent this stuff? I got to tell you. There are a million books written about these kinds of things, and there are many, many conversations that I have had about these kinds of things. Here is what I know. I know for sure that every time that people are oppressed, the people that are faithful, the people that are true to God, will rise to the top in the midst of those situations. Could I call on you to rise to the top? God has periods of time where he allows oppression to happen to his people. Sometimes he even sends it on his people. He doesn't tell them in advance. He always tells them afterwards, hey, I did that. I did that so that you would come back to me because you were kind of wandering. You got all enamored with this stuff and that stuff, and so I'm calling you back. Could you use this time right now, this month of Advent that is ahead, where we celebrate light coming into dark places, would you take advantage of this moment and ask God to bring restoration to the things that the pandemic has laid bare or laid waste to? God's methods are always the best. I'm calling on you to trust him. Galatians chapter 4 is what I'm rooting this in. When the fullness of time had come, that simple little phrase right there, it's so bizarre, isn't it? That God allows times for all kinds of things, both goodness and calamity. Both times of flourishing and times where we are experiencing destruction from a pandemic. He brings life and he brings death, and he is king over all of it. But God knows when the fullness of each one of those times is. God, in all of his magnificent knowledge and love and mercy and goodness and kindness and justice, knows when that period of time has come to its end. And when that fullness of time had come, speaking of Jesus, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, to bring back those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption, not as law keepers, not as a bunch of robots, not as a bunch of do-gooders, but as his sons, as his daughters. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father. Which most of you I know that's an affectionate word that a child yells out to their parent. That's a daddy. That's a mommy. My kids are 18 and 21. Not a lot of daddies and mommies going on in our house anymore. Isn't it wonderful when they're little and you hear those voices just cry out? I mean, oftentimes it's because of bad things, but you hear those voices cry out, and it's great. It's wonderful to hear. I mean, most of the time. I'm seeing some moms nodding their heads like they just remember that repetitive, mom, 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 mom. I don't mean that. Isn't it great when your children call out because they need you? That's a good moment right there. We should love those moments. God loves those moments. What are you calling out to? What solves the issues that are going on in your life? What solves your loneliness? What solves your isolation? What solves pandemic issues? What solves your marriage? What solves your fill in the blank? Could I call on you to call out to him? Because at the end of that passage about things getting better in Joel, I skipped the last verse because I think it's just so so good. It says that God's going to send, you know, the forerunner, and he's going to highlight who Jesus is. It's going to be before the day of the Lord that comes in the end. And then it says, it shall come to pass, Joel 2:32. Here's another verse you should circle, underline, highlight in your Bible as just a window of the gospel. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For in Mount Zion, heaven, and in Jerusalem, not Jerusalem the city, Jerusalem the place where God dwells. That's what it's talking about. The Mount of Heaven, the city of God. There shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls, or whom the Lord has called. Will you be in that place? Will you be in the dwelling place of God amongst people? It says so clearly that in the midst of crisis, in the midst of darkness, that we need to be those that call out to the name of God. Is this who your dependence is on? Is this who my dependence is on? This is Advent. Advent is a reminder of the deep longing that we have to come out of the darkness and into the light. But in that longing, it also reveals all the things that we depend on to make us feel better about being in the dark. Reject those things and come to the light that is Jesus Christ and cry out to Him for both salvation and for endurance as we walk through difficult times. Let's pray. God, as the worship team comes to help us, God, respond, I pray that we ourselves would have prepared hearts to respond. That God, we could not hear more clearly that even in the midst of dark times, even in the midst of difficult times, you have prepared a way. You have already prepared a way of escape for us. You've already prepared a way to show us how we can walk with you and live in the midst of the most difficult of times, full of the light of God. God, we cry out to you together as a church family, as those who have been adopted, as your very children. We cry out today, Abba, Father, Dad, please help us in the midst of these difficulties. God, we thank you for the good things you pour out. We pray, Father, that you would continue to pour out your grace and your glory and your goodness and your justice and your kindness and your mercy through your people. God, help us to be people that have the eyes and the ears and the hands, the mouths of Jesus for the world around us. We pray these things in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and respond in worship.